The prophet Amos was from the southern kingdom of Judah. This is after the two kingdoms had divided, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. But even though he was from Judah, he preached and did his prophetic ministry in Israel in the north. And because he was a foreigner, they didn't like his message either. And so they told him to go home and prophesy in his own land. But he stuck to it. And he's kind of the social justice prophet. Israel, during that period, this is about 760 to 780 BC, and that northern kingdom was really prosperous. And sometimes with prosperity comes corruption. And there was a lot of corruption in Israel at that time, and he was critical of it. It was only about 20, 30 years later that the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians, and that was the end of that prosperity. And a lot of times, prophets are warning people, if you keep going down this path, you're going to bring calamity down on your own head. And quite often, it turns out to be true. When will the new moon be over, you say, so that we can sell our grain? It was written into the law that whenever there was a new moon, you couldn't do commerce on that day. Just one day. But they couldn't wait for it to get over because they're so greedy, they want to sell their grain right now. At the end of that reading, you sell even the refuse of the grain to instead of leaving it for the poor. It was also written into the law that when you harvested a field, whatever fell to the ground, you were supposed to leave that for the poor. It was incredibly greedy to pick that up and sell that too. Whatever fell to the ground belonged to the poor. And so the poor would come through after the harvest and they would glean what was left on the ground. You might be familiar with that famous painting by the French painter Millet, The Gleaners, these three women gleaning in the field. Also, there's a combine that was called Gleaner. You know, comes from the same notion. I think the presumption was that that combine didn't leave any refuse. It took the gleaner's part too. I don't know if that was true, but. And then, interestingly, the liturgy pairs that reading with this gospel story that Jesus tells. And this is one of the more strange parables. A lot of the parables, just as we're hearing them, we get the point. You know, the Good Samaritan, we get the point pretty quickly. This one, this unjust steward gets praised for being unjust. You know, that doesn't make any sense. But first of all, notice that it's not Jesus who is praising him. It sounds like that at first, like Jesus is saying this was a good guy. No, the master praises him. Because the master and this unjust steward, they're of the same ilk. You know, the master isn't so honest either. And so he appreciates the cleverness of this guy. And the word there is prudence. The people, Jesus says, who are into this world, they're more prudent than those who are into the kingdom of God. But the Greek word for prudent there is really someone who does what is necessary to get what they want. It's expedience, okay? And this guy deserved to be praised. If you look at him, if you're looking through the world in that lens, he's prudent. He knows how to do what he has to do to get what he wants. So what about those who are looking toward the kingdom? What about those who are of God rather than of this world? Are they prudent enough to get the kingdom? Are they willing to be as clever, as industrious as this unjust steward? And so I suppose that's something that is always before us in our own private prayer and in our communal prayer. What does it mean exactly to be in the service of God? Well, it means to look like Jesus, And the gospel acclamation, in Jesus, God, who was rich, became poor so that we could become rich. There's this wonderful exchange that takes place in Christ, that God takes the last place, the lowest form, the slave. And he doesn't appear as clever. He's self-effacing. He's humble. He's vulnerable all the way to the cross. God has this compassion for the poor, and not just the financially poor, but humans. We're all poor. Compared to God, we are less than nothing. And yet God takes compassion on us and takes our place. He takes on our poverty so that we can take on his wealth. Wealth being divine life. And so it's about being generous stewards of God's gifts. And that's another little aspect to that parable. The steward is giving away something that isn't his. It belongs to the master. And Jesus wants us to give away what isn't ours. Grace, compassion, divine love, agape, self-offering love. It isn't ours by nature. It comes from God. Everything in the universe comes from God and belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. But in Genesis, Adam and Eve are made stewards of that creation. Act like you created it. Take care of it. Love it in the same way that I love it. To be good stewards of God's creation is to act as if we made it all, as if it came from us, and then give it away. There's an old adage that is sometimes true, at least, and that is that self-made people tend to be more generous because they always figure they can make more. They've got the ingenuity, they've got the know-how, they've got the drive. They know how to make more money, so they can be generous with it. If this runs out, I'll make more. Contrarily, sometimes when people inherit everything, they become kind of stingy because they don't have that inner confidence that they could always make more. They're afraid of running out. That's not always true, but sometimes it is. The point is, God has everything, and he made everything, and he can make more. In fact, he's continuing to create. God, it's endless. There is no limit to what God can make, and so he can give it away. And he wants us to act like we're God. That grace, that love, that generosity, since I'm part of the divine life, it's absolutely endless. And so I can give it away with a generosity that the world doesn't know. And again, it's shown forth in Jesus. God making himself vulnerable, giving away his entire life because he knew that it would always resurrect. And one of the reasons we're always told in the scriptures and in the liturgy, be willing to die, is because we can't die. There is no permanent death. There's always resurrection. There's always eternal life. And so there's no reason for us to be stingy. There's no reason for us to be afraid. No reason for us to be protective. Just let it go.